It's time for us to study the Bible, and it's what a wonderful afternoon we have. I really like this weather, and I wish it would stay like this all year long. But unfortunately, it gets either hotter or it gets very cold, and I don't know which one to pick. But just like it is now, it's very nice weather. Okay, today we're gonna try to cover some material in John. And we're gonna, before I tell you which book I'm going, I wanna ask you, let's have a word of prayer, and then I'm gonna ask you a question, and to see if you know where I'm going. Let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this afternoon and the time you have given us to come here and study the Bible. May this time be profitable for us, and may we give you all the honor and glory, Father, as we study your word, Father. Thank you for the accounts we found in the Gospels and the example we have in our Lord Jesus, Father. Be with each one of us and those who are sick and those who have been asked to pray about. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Okay. If I was going to ask you, which do you think is one of the most, powerful miracles that we found recorded in the New Testament? Talking about Jesus, specifically. What would you name? Yes, one of the most impressive or powerful miracles that we can find. Which one will you name? Okay, of whom? Because there's several. Okay, right. Okay, well, thank you. That you just went straight to where I was going then. Okay, that's John chapter 11. But thank you, brother. That's correct. That's where I was going. There's also, like, for instance, Jesus walking on the water. That's another one. Just think about the feeding of the 5,000. It's another wonderful and powerful miracle. And how Jesus calmed the storm, that's something also amazing to think about and behold. But if we think about a powerful miracle, like Brother Dennis just mentioned, raising of the dead, and why would we choose Lazarus instead of the other two accounts? We found the son of the widow of Nain, which was resurrected by Jesus, and also a man named Jairus. Jesus resurrected his daughter too. Why would we prefer the miracle of raising Lazarus? Excuse me? Okay, all right, that makes sense. Okay. Mm-hmm. What else could we say? Correct. Yes, that's another reason. We can say maybe because Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. They were friends. That's another one. Correct. Yes, and that point that you mentioned, speaking about the emotions, when we read the other accounts of the other resurrections, they're shorter descriptions, less verses. But when we read the account of the resurrection of Lazarus, we're talking about a whole chapter, and John is going into detail in what they spoke, what they felt, where Jesus was, how long it took him to get there, how long Lazarus was dead. And there's a lot of details on this resurrection, and that's maybe why we keep it in our heart the most, because it gives us a lot of detail. And especially the women, because there's two women there involved, and both of them with different characters, like every woman and like every man as well. But we'll see the sisters of Lazarus were, who were they? Okay, Mary and Martha. Okay, if you want to, can you please just open your Bible to John 11? And we're going to just be moving along as time permits, and just making some points about this Bible verses. Okay. Now, So this is a very, very powerful miracle, and it will be a miracle that nobody could deny. And we're going to see something else. There's other two miracles, resurrections of other two resurrections, were done. You remember where they were done? Not exactly the city, but the region. There's a difference in this other miracle. The widow of Nain, well, he's given the name already. Nain was close to Nazareth, which was in Galilee. And also, Jairus' daughter, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Capernaum, but it was definitely in Galilee. But this resurrection of Lazarus happened in which city? Okay, in the city of Bethany. Okay, which was where? In which region? Major region? In Judea. Yeah, close, very close to Jerusalem. In fact, it's going to tell us here that it's about 2 miles from Jerusalem, this city of Bethany. Okay, so this is a very important miracle, and it was done at a time where the antagonism and persecution against Jesus was the highest. And that's and the Jesus' enemies were just finding an excuse to kill him. And when he did this, they even more desired to kill him. Not only him, but also Lazarus. Okay? But notice verse 1. Let's begin here with the text and just move little by little. Notice verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. Okay, I'm reading here from the New King James. Okay? Now this, well, it mentions the city Bethany and the name Lazarus and his sisters Mary and Martha. Okay, so it appears that this family, the family of Lazarus, Mary and Martha, they were an affluent family. What would we think that they were an affluent family? What would make us think this? Okay, for one reason, they had a tomb, private tomb, in a garden. Okay, they also, you know, when Lazarus died, there's a lot of Jews that came to mourn his death. So they must have been known by these people. They owned their own house. But that's another clue. It gives us that they were affluent. Remember, and it's going to give us there in verse 2. Notice verse 2 before, and then I'll go back to verse 1. Verse 2. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So this is Mary who had this perfume, costly perfume. And she broke it, and she wiped Jesus' feet and his head with this costly perfume. So they had the means to get this type of things. And some even believe that Mary and Martha were some of the supporters as far as Jesus and his ministry. Okay, but notice the name Lazarus. I always like to look at names and try to find the meaning of names. I might not know the meaning of my name, but I know the meaning of everybody else's name. But notice Lazarus, okay? His name means God is my help, okay? And it comes from the Hebrew Eliezer, okay? And this word is easy to find where it comes from. Eliezer means God has help, okay? There's a song we sing. Here bring my Ebenezer. Have you ever wondered what this word Ebenezer means? Sometimes those who visit us don't know what it means, and sometimes even we don't know what it means, but we sing about it. But Eben means stone, and Ezer means help. So this is stone of help. So we take away the word Eben, which is stone, and put Ezer. Now we have Eliezer. This word, ael, is a word for God in Hebrew. So every name you find in the Bible that has an E-L, E-L, for instance, Michael, Michael, means who is like God, the word El. Okay, also, for instance, the word Bethel, house of God. Okay, also the word Nathaniel, God has given. He has the word El. And those names, Gabriel, even Raphael, and a lot of names that have the word El, that means God. So just trying to find a little bit of the meaning of the word. So we have Lazarus, and his name means God has helped. Okay, now moving on. Okay, now verse 2, notice it's very interesting that verse 2 mentions that Mary anointed the Lord with fragrant oil. But have you noticed that this account of Mary and the fragrant oil is not mentioned but until John chapter 12? So how is this, how is John mentioning something that has not happened? Or has it happened? She mentioned Mary with the oil, but this happened on chapter 12. But remember that these events happened, John wrote long after these events happened. So by the time he was writing chapter 1, everybody knew that Mary had done this with the perfume. So it's like probably like calling Judas the traitor in John chapter 1, when as far as the writing, Judas had not betrayed Jesus yet, but years down the road, everybody knew Judas was a traitor. So he's just mentioning something that everybody knew, and then on chapter 12 he expounds about it, and then there's the account there of Mary, which I don't think we'll get to that tonight, maybe another time. Okay, so this is chapter verse 2. Okay. Now notice verse 3. Therefore the sister sent to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Now where was Jesus that these messengers from Mary and Martha came to get him? Very interesting where he was. If we read, we go back a couple of verses to chapter 10 verse 40, notice that after the healing of the, after that account, notice verse 40, and he went away beyond the Jordan to a place where John was baptizing at first, and there he stayed. So he was beyond the Jordan in a region called Perea. Okay, we have Judea, Samaria, Galilee, and Perea was on the other side of the Jordan. That's where Jesus was, in the place where John was baptizing before. And we look at John 1:28. John tells us in the first chapter what that place was called. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. So Jesus was in Bethabara, and this Bethabara is also called Bethany from Perea. It's another Bethany. Another version of the Bible is going to say Bethany. Some are going to say Bethabara. Same thing, same place. And it's about 30 miles away from the Bethany where Lazarus, Mary, and Martha live. So about 30 miles away. So this is where Jesus was. And he was, evidently he was preaching at this time. He was working on his ministry. Okay, now back to John chapter 11 and now verse 4. So when Jesus heard that this sickness, well, let me go back to verse 3. I forgot to mention something. Therefore the sister sent to him saying, Lord, behold, him who you love is sick. Notice this phrase, him whom you love is sick. Okay? There's a great friendship here that is not necessary to mention Lazarus' name. Okay? It's a great friendship here. And also, there's no need to tell him, come. They know, because he loves him, that he's going to come. They're not telling him come. They're just telling him, hey, him whom you love is sick. Okay, of course, they're implying for him to come, but they don't need to say it directly. And that's how friends are. That's what friendship is. Okay, you don't need to expressly tell what what exactly you want from the other person. If you're suffering, you know your friend is going to be there. And this is the same thing, because they were friends. And this is the focus we want to give it. They were friends. Okay, now verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified through it." Okay, so he's saying it's not to death, okay, but he's going to die. So he's talking about another type of death. Okay, now notice verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus. Very interesting, this comment that John is making. Notice, John often makes comments as he's writing what happened. So he's a personal comment. Why is John telling us this? Well, maybe what's going on is that because what's about to happen, Lazarus is very sick. But notice what Jesus does. Does he go right away immediately to go find Lazarus? We're going to read that he waited a couple of days more. And then if John would have not made this comment, we would say, well, maybe he doesn't love him that much after all, or something. Or there's not enough love or something. But John is making clear, Jesus is going to wait a couple of days, not because he doesn't care about Lazarus, not because he's indifferent, but because he has other purposes in doing this. But rest assured that Jesus loves them very much, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. So sometimes deity delays when we ask him things. And I have experienced it in my life that there's something that I plan, there's something that I want to do. And sure enough, something better happens that I wasn't even expected. And God just plans it before I can plan it, better than I can plan. And he sure can plan it better than we can plan it. Sometimes we pray and the answer is no. And that's great. It's good to know it's a no for an answer. Sometimes we pray and the answer is yes. Sometimes we pray, the answer is wait. Wait. And oftentimes when we wait, there's something better coming. Something better coming that we might want what we think we need or what we want, but God is going to give us what we really need because of our prayers. Okay, so deity is waiting here. He's not going right away where Lazarus is. Okay? How are we doing here so far? I hope I'm not losing you. I'm trying to move along. It's a lot of material. And okay, verse 6. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Okay, why the delay? Okay, we have seen that it was not due to indifference. Okay, there's not an indifference here, because Christ loved him very much. Okay. Also, the delay was not just to make sure Lazarus would die. Okay. It's not to say, well, let's just make sure he's dead. Okay. But we're going to read later on down the verses what the purpose is, and it's explicitly told there that he's trying to, for the sake of the disciples, to do this miracle. For their sakes. And we're going to see about it in a minute. Okay? So it was, let me see, verse 7. Okay? Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." Okay? He waited for 2 days. Okay? There was a purpose for him waiting. Of course, he was continuing on his ministry, but there was another purpose of him being late. Okay, but let us go to Judea again. These words made the apostles scared. Made him scared. They were hoping that Jesus would not go, as we're going to find out as we keep on reading. They were hoping that he was just going to leave him alone and that Lazarus was going to get better on his own. And why would they be afraid of going back to Judea? why would they be afraid to go back to where, close to Jerusalem, 2 miles away from Jerusalem? Yes, Brother Jack. Okay. Okay, yes, correct. And the answer is right there in verse 8. Notice, the disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you. So, are you going there again? They're trying to kill you. They're trying to destroy you, and they're going to kill us along with you. It's dangerous. We should not go there, expose ourselves to such a danger. So there was a fear, some kind of fear in the apostles right now, because they were trying to stay safe. And I should have pointed out at the beginning that this is at the beginning of the last week of Jesus' ministry. Okay, it's drawing to a close. Okay, it's getting to an end. And this miracle is gonna be the, like we said, it's gonna be the cherry on top of the cake. It's gonna be the last reason why they want to kill him. And I said, that's enough. We're gonna kill him. That's for sure. Okay, and this is what happened after this miracle. Okay, now notice Jesus' answer. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. Okay, now Jesus is speaking here as he often does. He's giving a spiritual meaning here of they didn't understand it at first, but he's using here a figure of speech to help him understand. So he's saying, there are 12 hours in a day. There's a time to work. And as long as we walk in the light, as long as I walk in the light of God's purposes, as long as I'm doing what God is telling me to do, and it's day, we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. It's not yet evening for me. It will mean when it's dark, it will mean that it's the day for Jesus has ended. And what he's saying here is, we're gonna be fine. No one is gonna kill me because my time is not come yet. It will come, but not right now, not in Bethany, not while I'm with, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. That's more or less what Jesus is saying here. Okay? So, we were reading John 9:4 that there's a time to work, and that we must work before the night comes when no one can work. Speaking about life, lifespan, our life, our day. And there are some songs divided in early morning, and then the afternoon, and then the late, the evening, and so on, and night, when no one can work. So he's giving them an encouragement in this verse. Okay, verse 10. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. Okay? So he was trying to tell him, we're walking in the light. We're going according to God's will, and we're going to be fine. We're not going to walk in the night without light, and we're not going to stumble. Okay? We're okay. That's what he's telling them. Verse 11. These things he said, and after he said them, he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I might wake him up. Okay, they didn't understand this at first. Our friend Lazarus sleeps. Okay, this the Greek word for sleep, even in classical Hebrew or biblical Hebrew, classical Hebrew being more ancient than biblical Hebrew, is just the same word for sleep, but it's used in two senses. The sense of literally just take a nap or fall asleep during the night, and in a spiritual sense, to die. Yeah, that's what it means, to die. So, when we talk about the word, for instance, in the Old Testament, the word angel, okay, the word malak or angelos in Greek, is the same thing. This word angel means a spiritual being, and also means a literal human messenger. Same word. So this word sleep is used here in two senses. And the New Testament three times is used to refer to someone dying. And the rest of the time is used to refer to just sleep. About 13 times used to refer to little sleep. Yes, brother. Okay, now remember two things. He was not in Judea yet. He was up north in Perea, close to that place, Bethany of Perea or Bethabara, where John was baptizing. And also another thing, he was talking to the apostles. He was talking to them because they were afraid to go to Bethany, because Bethany was so close to Jerusalem. And also there were a lot of Jews at Bethany because Lazarus, because of his death. So he's basically talking to them, giving them courage. For them not to be afraid to go to Bethany, to see Lazarus. That makes sense? No, not exactly that, brother. I understand, you're trying to make sense of that. But it's, if you just look at the context and we're gonna see more. Not necessarily, brother. I understand what you're saying. But remember the verse before, Jesus said, let us go to Judea again. But then the disciples said, well, Rabbi, they'll try to stone you. And, we're going there again. So they were trying to talk him out of going there, rather, instead. And correct. And for instance, the word sleep, he's just, in the next verse, he's going to explain what sleep means. He's going to say, well, you didn't catch that. And he's going to say, well, Lazarus is dead. And he's going to tell it up front. Okay. Let's see where we were. Okay. Verse 11, these things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, would I go that I might wake him up? Okay, now verse 12, then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he would get well. Definitely, I did not catch that. Okay, now verse 13, however, Jesus spoke of his death. But they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Now notice verse 14 and 15. Then Jesus said to them plainly, okay, now I'm going to explain what I mean with this. Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go up to him. Why was Jesus glad for them that he was not there? What would have happened if Jesus was there while Lazarus was sick? What would have happened? He's going to heal him. He's not going to let him die. That's what he's saying. I'm glad I wasn't there because I would have healed him. And then I would spare you the opportunity to see this wonderful miracle of the resurrection of Lazarus. So that's what he's saying. So when he arrives at Bethany, he is evidently sad, distressed, and sorrowful, because for one hand, he's trying to help his apostles learn this lesson, but on the other hand, he's letting Mary and Martha and those relatives around them suffer. So that's what he's saying. I'm glad for thy sake, for your sake, that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. So there was a genuine interest in Jesus for Lazarus and his sisters. Now notice, if Jesus would have said, well, let's go right away to check on Lazarus, do you think he would have made it on time before he died? Probably not. Because just giving a short mat, when Jesus got there, Lazarus had been dead how many days? 4 days. So Let's imagine that from where Lazarus is and where Jesus is about a day's journey. If it was a day's journey, and Lazarus and then and Jesus, a day's journey, and then Jesus waited 2 days to get there. And when he got there, he was dead 4 days. Lazarus would have probably died as soon after the messengers left to go tell Jesus what happened to him. So, I mean, Jesus was all in control of this. Even if he would have just right away left, and Lazarus would have still be dead. And then being 4 days dead, that's no doubt he was dead. Because he was not going to do a resuscitation of an agonizing person. He was going to raise him from the dead without doubt. And this is what happens. So I ask you another question. Maybe you have a thought on this. Why wouldn't Jesus then, you know, he's healed some people before without having to be there. Why wouldn't he just heal Lazarus from the distance? Oh, what was that? Because there's a divine purpose behind all of this. There's a purpose. There's a definite intention in what they're doing. So Jesus, very well could have healed them if he wanted to, but there's a purpose on all of this. Okay, now notice the reaction of Thomas, verse 16. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go, that we may die with him." So great was his concern, and he was worried about all of this, that he said, "Well, if he goes to Judea, he's gonna be killed, and if we go with him, we're gonna be killed along with him." So this is why Thomas said, "Well, let's go and let's die with him." We see here the braveness of Thomas, who speaks up on behalf of the rest of the apostles, because they were all afraid of this. They were all worried about it. So they said, "Well, let's go, that we might die with him." Okay. So there was a big concern here with Thomas, which it tells us is called the twin, and in your version maybe the Didymus, or it just means the same thing, a twin. He might have a twin brother or sister. We don't know. Okay, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Okay, now Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Notice verse 18. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. Okay, or the King James says a furlong. And a furlong was just 600 feet. And this gives us a lot short of 2 miles. Yes, brother. Okay, yeah, it makes sense. Your thought, it makes sense. But let's remember that he died because of other cause. Maybe there was a disease. Or something that just killed him, Okay, you're looking at all the loopholes there might be. Okay, sounds good. So just to make sure he's definitely dead. Okay, okay. Thank you, brother. Appreciate your comment very much. Okay, now let's see verse 19. Okay, so he was in the tomb, and then Bethany was about 2 miles away, 19. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. So we have here a group of Jews. Usually John, when he speaks about the Jews, he speaks about those who are opposed to Jesus, especially in this section of John. But we're going to learn later that some of these Jews might have been friends or acquaintances of Lazarus and his family. And they came all the way from Jerusalem to mourn because of his death. Remember, Jesus is not there. So makes me think that they were not there just to see if Jesus came. Could have been. We don't know. But these Jews come. And we're going to learn that some of them were honest, at least some of them, because some of them believe on the miracle. Okay, so there's friends here of the family, some of these Jews coming to be with Mary and Martha. be with them this time. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting at the house. We see two different characters here, two different, Mary was different, Martha was a worker, and Mary was a more teachable kind of person, kind of disciple heart. And Martha was just, let's get things done. Okay? And we notice that, when we read the account of Mary and Martha, Jesus did not set, remember when Martha was busy and Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, and then Martha said, well, would she not come and help me? Jesus did not deny that Mary was not, he did not deny that she was not fulfilling a duty at her home. But Jesus making the emphasis that there's something more, as a priority, which is the Word of God. But Jesus is not implying that what Martha is doing is wrong. But he's saying that Mary chose the better part. So Martha has a good heart as well as Mary. They both have good hearts. And they're different characters. But I want to, before we close, because I know the time is going to run out of us, I want to mention, let me just read, keep on reading real quick. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Okay? She had some degree of faith in him. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Okay? He's not telling them what to do, but he's saying that she believes in him. Now notice, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Verse 24, Martha said to him, I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day. Notice, the resurrection on the last day. Jesus told him, he will rise again. And he's talking about soon. He's rising again today. Martha is thinking about the resurrection of the dead, of the righteous. Okay? But notice, even though there was a great hope in the resurrection, future resurrection, still, she kept on grieving. And this is the point where I want to close. I wish I could have gotten further. But we're humans. And we grieve. We suffer. And we know there's hope later on. But nevertheless, we suffer. And even though we know that we're going to be good at the end, that's not going to keep us from shedding tears. From suffering. Sometimes when people are suffering, we're really eager to take in Bible verses and tell them, well, get over it. The Bible says so. But when they're suffering, they're suffering. First thing, they might not listen to you. And second, they need to suffer. It's part of human being. It's part of human life. And when you're suffering of something, sometimes we just want to find an answer and say, well, here's the answer. Just stop crying. But this is not fair to those who are suffering. And as we see here, Jesus mentioned, Martha is speaking about the resurrection of the dead later on. Nevertheless, she keeps on suffering. Okay? I hope this all makes sense. Okay? Very good. So I don't know if there's any comment before we close tonight. I see Donna, very thoughtful. Maybe she might have a question. But I thank you so much for bearing with me tonight, and I hope this has been so far. If we just read the verse, I mean, that would be just worth of our time. If I didn't say a word, but all I did was just to read, it would be worth our time. Okay, so then let me just finish as far as we can go. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Okay. "Sure," she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is come into the world." Does this confession is similar to any confession you might heard before? It's very close to what Peter confessed. It's very close. And here is Martha making this beautiful confession, acknowledging that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay? Thank you for for your attention. I appreciate your time very much, and I hope the Word of God has encouraged us tonight. Thank you.
Jesus. Thank you.